Korean oral history interview with Dr. Timothy N. Sun Lee on June the 14th, 1994. Please tell me about your mother, if you recall where she is from and when she arrived.
I cannot
she
say
did.
When she arrived. Mm-hmm. Well, we all Pyongyang, we family. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. And my mother and my dad came into Hawaii. They, I went to this different plantations, but they were going here, there. We were in a coffee farm. They were in sugar cane. Mills and all that, but I cannot say now those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last part of it is, the longest we stayed is we came to Waiawa.
What did they do in Waiawa?
Well, pineapple, those days, uh-huh. And then sugar cane, and you know, they worked here, there, a little, whatever. And then I remember my dad, that is, in fact, when the army, the army came in on Schofield.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to, dad used to go over there, work a little and all that, just here, there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just vaguely remember those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when after I grew a little bigger, I go to school, well, I went up to KCI, went to school over there, that is, and then went to McKinley, and that I know, I vaguely remember that there's the Korean compound. I was there, then went to school at, what school is that, mommy, that is from?
You went to Royal School.
Yeah, Royal School, and you know, here, there, that I cannot remember everything.
Mm-hmm,
so.
When you grew up and became independent enough to have made your decision to go into the field of medicine, do you recall what happened then that allowed you to go on that educational program?
Well, in education, after I finished high school, I told my dad, I said, just give me a fare to go to the mainland. And from somehow or another, I went over to, you know, where Bean...
North Central College. Illinois.
Yeah, over there, that is, I met a family. They took me in just like their own child. So I worked in the kitchen, dining room, and then got my...
bachelor's degree.
Yeah, bachelor's degree. That's, that was in...
he originally intended to go into dentistry.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Northwestern University had said he would have to go to college 3 years. But he went to college for 4 years. After he finished, he said, now why should I go to dentistry when I can go to medicine? So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So he went to medicine.
But from North Central, I got my bachelor's degree. Then I went to, what school is that in Chicago? Northwestern University. I got into, there were a lot of
racial prejudice,
but I had some good friends, that is parents. There were three girls that from, where was that? Anyways, they were going to the medical school at Northwestern. So, and then they were from Iowa. So through their parents, they got me in the Northwestern also.
Oh.
So I got my medical degree at Northwestern. Then I had to go down, where was that?
He went to Cincinnati, Ohio,
for his internship.
Yeah, because I had to go to get into a hospital. But because of this, it was very hard to go in for an hour. So I got down, that is, somehow or another, I went down to a Catholic hospital in, what was it?
the Catholic hospital that he got into?
St. Mary's Hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Uh-huh. Yes, I got into there for my training, yeah. And then from over there, well, after I got through, I came to Ohio.
Right after. So you began your practice right after you got your MD degree and mm-hmm. your internship and residency mm-hmm. completed.
Yeah,
then
I came to Waihewa.
Uh-huh. Waihewa for you became slow process in which you saw needs for the community and the people. Can you describe what you thought was important, so much so that you would later on become part of the institution itself in the development, for instance, of the hospital?
Well, you know, what he wanted, he had no hospital nor anything. Even after she and I first got married, she can tell you the delivery.
Did a lot of home deliveries.
Yeah. Home deliveries and all that.
So he's trying to say we spent our first New Year's Eve after marriage in the car. Mm. We had a deliver baby. Mm. But when we went up to the house, why, she wasn't ready, so he said we'll have to wait and see. He couldn't come home, they had no telephone. Mm. So I slept in the car when he was in the house working with her. Then in the morning, the sun came up, she still hadn't delivered. He said, I have to take you home and then come back here. Mm. So that's
that was his first delivery.
No, not his first delivery.
Oh.
Actually, his first delivery was his nephew.
I see.
Home delivery those days, and then I had to come to Honolulu, St. Francis Hospital, to deliver and all that. That is in training. That's not training, but work over there. But then that's how my life was. Even, you know, at home, I was, after we first got married, she was out and I went in the house to get married, deliver a baby, you know. What did I get for pay? Something to eat. No, I'm just telling you, that's mm-hmm. how life was at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if I wanted to something, no more than $25, or no more $25, they usually give me something to eat and everything. That's life, but that's our life, I'm just telling you how.
You managed as a doctor. You stayed in that one spot in the back of the theater for how many years?
He moved to that spot in 1936. That's when he built his office. He actually rented an office space that used to be Dr. Meisacker's building at the corner of California and Cam Highway. They used to be a little two-story building. He rented a room there until his parents had that lot. They gave him that lot, so he built his office building there, and he moved in.
Uh-huh. Perhaps you can elaborate about his parents, and to the best of your knowledge, how they were able to sustain themselves.
Well, his father operated a little shoe repair shop. And his mother worked as a domestic in Schofield. So they barely got along with a large family. So when he wanted to go to the mainland, all he asked is, if you can manage to get me my boat fare, I'll take care of myself after that. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And when he went to the mainland, he had to work. During the summers, he'd work out in the fruit farms in California and then go to school in the school year. And then while he was in medical school, he worked in this cafeteria as a busboy. Do they call it busboy? So for his meals, at least. And so what the money he'd earned at the fruit farms, fruit fields, during the summer, carried him through the school year. And his meals were taken care of by working in the cafeteria at night.
Did he work for any Korean food farmer?
No, they were. But this restaurant in Chicago was a Korean restaurant run by Korean people. Mm-hmm. So he was able to work there.
Mm-hmm. He indicates that there were incidences of racial prejudices.
Oh, at that time it was very strong in the mainland.
because in California especially, he couldn't go to any barber shop. They wouldn't take him at anyone, you know. So there were particular ones maybe operated by other nationalities that would take him. And even in Chicago, when he went there for the medical school, he landed and he wanted to room to stay, and he went to the YMCA. He thought that would be the logical place to go. But they looked at him and they flipped a dime at him and said, you go down to a certain area for your room over there. And so he had a lot of that racial prejudice thrown at him.
And what year were his study time in Chicago? Do you remember what those years were?
He finished his college. He went to the North Central in Illinois in 1925 after he finished McKinley in Honolulu. Then he finished in 1929, and he finished in 1935. He had to stay out of school 1 year because he didn't have enough tuition. So he finished in 1935. No, he went to Chicago in 1930. He stayed out after high school for 1 year. Finished 1930, 35 in the medical school. Then he went to intern. So even getting the internship was rather difficult for him. But this Catholic hospital took him without any problem. So he has a soft spot for the Catholic people.
In a history book that had been written by Lonnie Nedbelik, it indicates how you would go to school every day to Honolulu, and you took a train.
The train
to Honolulu, and got off, went to school, and then came back, and then by the time you got home, it was very late. But you would continue studying in the. This would be your high school days. Did you know then that you were going to become a doctor?
Well, that is the position of McKinley. Mm-hmm. So after I finished McKinley, I said, I'm going to the mainland. I said, I'm going to be a doctor. I wanted to be a doctor. So then I called my way down to where's the college. I met the son over there somehow, so during summertime. So the mother used to be a cook in that school. So I was just part of their family. So during school year, that is, I worked in the kitchen with them. When summertime came, then I went out, that is, some job, this and that, for during the summer so I can make enough some money.
Mm-hmm. Were you the first Korean from Wahiwa to become a doctor?
First and only, I think.
The first and only Korean to become an MD from Wahiwa.
From Wahiwa.
During that era, that's right.
That is in Hawaii, I think. There were no, I was about the first, huh?
No, Dr. Yang was here.
Oh, yeah, the
and
Yang.
Kang was here.
Yeah, Kang, they were the old.
Well,
but
there
were Honolulu.
Dr. Yuta Kim, yeah,
that
was in Honolulu.
But there were Honolulu.
Yeah, they were in Honolulu. They were older.
So you became like a country doctor, essentially. A country doctor.
Yeah, he was a country doctor.
Then I came to be a doctor in the state.
What did you find most interesting about your work as a doctor? Do you recall some of the most interesting things that happened to you besides that night when you waited in the car to deliver a child? And there were many interesting things that might have happened.
Well, the most interesting things are, I wouldn't say interesting, these are things that you just have to do to make a living, and that is live with the people. That is, that a lot of those people that I have known is whether I can get paid or nothing, I usually took care of them. And whatever they can give, as I said, even after we first got married, I went in and delivered a baby, you know. But, you know, that is, when as far as pay is concerned, but then still, they said, well, as a doctor. And I used to go to St. Francis to believe we're an older sometimes, just going back mm-hmm. and forth. And as I say, life was hard, mm-hmm. but still, people appreciated it.
Yes. So, as a human, in your humanitarian gestures mm-hmm. that just enabled you to fill that need, do you mm-hmm. feel as if there is satisfaction and reward from all of those giving, from understanding?
I don't know. I was very satisfied that I did that. And the people that was given, that is taken care of, they took care of what I wanted of me also, you know what I mean. So life was, as far as I'm concerned, life was very interesting and very good.
So when you did finally become a doctor and you did work, how long were your hours every day? I'm very interested in that because we only had a limited number of doctors in Waiawa. So how long, what time did you get up in the morning and what time did you go to bed? Did you ever go to bed with only the two doctors and a country doctor in Waiawa?
When the people need you, they call you and then you get up. There's no, and then we have a regular office hour. What my office hour was the morning?
Well, when he first started, about a year after that, he became the doctor of a CCC camp. And when the war broke out, that's when he really got so, I don't know why there were such a demand for his time. So from CCC camp, he had a report there at 5 o'clock in the morning to check the boys before they went out to the field. Then he'd come home at 7:30, have his breakfast, then he'd open up his office and work as long as he could until about 5 in the evening. Then he had to go back to the CCC camp to check the boys when they came back in. Then he came back home for dinner, about 7 o'clock, have dinner, and he had evening hours at that time. So about 9 o'clock, then he'd close and come back home. Then when war broke out and with the blackout, he couldn't keep evening hours. So I told him, I said, well, this is one good thing for you. You don't have to work evening hours. And so then he had the deliveries. They kept him busy. So he always left home about when the CCC camp finally closed. He left home about 7:30 in the morning to go to the hospital, check his patients there. Well, by that time, the OCD had opened up a hospital in Waiawa. They took over the elementary school. Yeah, he went there to check his patient there. He'd come home about 9:30, open up his office, and work till about 5, 6 o'clock, go back to the hospital, check, and then come home, have dinner. So maybe he'd have his dinner about 9, 10 o'clock at night. In the meantime, at night he'd have house calls.
House calls, house the call. Thing of the past. Was CCC for the Civilian Conservation Corps?
Set up by President Roosevelt.
And what year was that, Dr. Wee had such
a... Well, there was another doctor before him. I think, how long did Luck work for CCC camp? About 2 years?
I cannot remember.
Then he left to specialize. So he said, asked him to take over. So I think he took over in 1936. And that CCC camp ran, how many years? I think in 1941, I think.
To the war years.
I think so, uh-huh.
Were the war years profitable, more profitable for Dr. Wee?
I think so, because there was so much, there's such a demand for his time. He had so many more patients by that time, mm-hmm. so, and he had this, there were no appointments at that time, first come, first serve. So he had them lining up at his office at that time, because they were only Dr. DeHaan, only the two of them. And the population was growing in Waiawa, Kunia was growing, and Whitmore was growing. So with the increase in the patient load, he was kept pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the plantation people out in Kunia and Whitmore, Pomoho, did you go to them or did they come to you?
They came.
They came to you. Uh-huh. Can you tell me about the first car you got? Do you remember your first car you got and when?
Car.
That awful word, car. Do you remember?
Oh, I think Jason gave you your first car.
No, I don't remember.
His brother Jason, I think, had a, was it a Ford?
I don't
know. He used that.
Ah, do you remember what year the car, what year Ford it was? You don't remember?
I don't remember who sent it for.
Well, tell me about how many brothers and sisters you have.
How many brothers and sisters?
You have two, you have, yeah, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Jason, Joe, Jacob, three brothers, and Ellen, Ruth, six sisters. I mean, three sisters.
Okay.
Yeah, big family. Yeah.
Who delivered your mother's children? Did your mother ever tell you who delivered your mother's children?
Did your father deliver them?
Yeah, most of them was home delivery. I think my dad, I think, used to take care of them. And there's no doctors around. And I was just a kid. As soon as I finished high school, I took off to the mainland. I told my dad, just give me a fare, I'll go to the mainland. So from mainland, I don't know how I did, but I scrammed, and then until I went to Chicago.
Okay.
I cannot say.
Was it common practice, do you know, for fathers to deliver their children?
Out of necessity. Usually some friend would come over and deliver.
Dr. Wee, as time progressed in Waihawa, I know that you were very instrumental in the development of the larger Waihawa Hospital. What dedicated you to that growth and that development of the hospital in Waihawa? I know that you were a spearheader there.
See, the hospital during the wartime, the school, the army took over. And then they told me that I can use the hospital, deliver and all that. So that's why I got 2 years of that. That's the wartime. Eh? Yeah. Before then, I was lucky to go to St. Francis. Eh? And most of them are home delivery because they never had any money and I never had. I remember I used to charge $25 for home delivery and all that.
Mm.
And then, even then, you don't get most of them, but still, after all, they're human. And,
but then, wasn't he instrumental in developing the new hospital?
Well, at the end of the war, when they withdrew the OCD personnel, talk of withdrawing, the community people decided that we needed a hospital very badly in Waiawa. So I can't remember which group of people got together and started working on plans to buy that land or develop that land and put up a hospital building there. And I don't remember the year either, but
But he was very instrumental in that.
Because he was the
probably like the head
civilian doctor there practicing there, so they had to consult with him. And I didn't sit in on any meetings, so I don't know actually what transpired, but I know there was a group of people from Waiawa were very interested. It was a definite need for a hospital.
I think I'll check out some of the paperwork and see about their history, because I know that he was very, very instrumental in that. Can you tell me what your impressions were of how Waihawa developed and what your ideas were about the educational processes in Waihawa?
I think she knows better than I do because I am very...
I don't know if I can say very much, but...
That's cool. If you mention, maybe I can say yes or no.
Waihawa was a very country and still mm-hmm. is sort of a country school.
Yes.
But one of the problems happens to be that, for instance, us as Korean children, we spoke Korean in the home and then we went off to learn English and to begin to better ourselves. So you get ideas through your own experience of whether or not the children in Wahiwa would eventually grow and succeed. What do you think of, for instance, the Korean children from Wahiwa, besides yourself?
Well, in Korean, that is mostly in Korean, our parents spoke no English, so we have to talk Korean, good or bad. So we go to school, we learn some English, but at home we have to talk Korean to our parents. So we had Korean. We knew we weren't so good, but we couldn't talk to it. And then the parents made Korean school, that somebody could teach him. We went to the Korean school. Not too good, but still we learned enough so that we can talk to our parents, because our parents cannot talk English to us, so mm-hmm. we have to speak Korean. But then we went to Korean school, and I don't know what that is.
Did your mother teach in that school once?
No.
Her mother?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, her mother, yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But not our parents, so they mm-hmm. were ignorant in
mm-hmm.
English and Korean for teaching it against.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you went to KCI. At KCI, mm-hmm. you learned Korean there too, didn't you?
KCI, we had to learn some Korean. But then from KCI, we used to go to school. English school was McKinley, I think we used to go. And then we used to talk some Korean in KCI. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I understand that because you were associated with KCI, a group was, a select group went to Korea in 1923.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell me what you remember about your trip to Korea?
I don't know, because at that time, somehow or another, I went to Korea a number of times.
Do
you remember when you went with the baseball team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went over. I don't remember too much as a baseball team and all that. But I went to Korea a number of times, somehow or another, for this and that. I think at least three or four times that I went to Korea.
When you were younger?
Yeah, when I was
this
young.
This is post-war. Post-war.
Before the war. Before the war, when you went to with a group of Korean children, about 23 of them, and part of the group were an orchestra. You remember Salome Han?
And
the other was a baseball.
Baseball.
Uh-huh. Did you enjoy being part of the team and playing with the other groups?
Oh yes, I enjoyed it going over there. That is, and another thing is, very happy. That is, as a, when they pick you from here, they say you go over there. In other words, you're representing the thing over here. I enjoy it, and I went to Korea a number of times. Yeah, that is. That is.
What impressed you about Korea that you can remember?
Because ever since I got this, I don't remember too much. That's why she remembers more of those things. Mm-hmm. Ever since we got married, and even so, she knows more about those things than I do. But I'm very forgetful. I cannot remember.
Can't remember all that now.
I'm head injury.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
At what age did you retire from your medical work?
My
you were 83.
he stopped working at age 83? Uh-huh. You mean he went to the Wahiwa Hospital and worked until he was 83? He would go and see his patients and deliver children.
Well, he stopped delivering for a while, I think about 10 years before that.
73.
Uh-huh. And I was fortunate to have a very good associate, young Dr. Edmund Wong. He was very good, so it made work easy for him.
Because he's and his father and I were at the KCI, we grew up together.
Edmund Huang's father?
Yeah, so Edmund Huang went to Project of East Coast to pick up an MD. And he was practicing over there.
He was a professor at the medical school.
Yeah, he was practicing there. So I called him, I asked him if he can want to come over, because I knew him as a baby. So to come over, practice with me, be my partner. If he doesn't like it, he can go back. If he enjoys it, he's my partner. And he came over, so we became partners. And
partners for life, then, huh? He stayed until he retired, too, didn't he? Father.
Won Yeo Huang.
Uh-huh. But didn't Won Yeo also work as a...
No. He was a chemist at the Hawaiian Pineapple Laboratory here.
I see.
His mother was a school teacher, Yirim Wang.
Yirim
Wang.
In Wahiwa?
Wahiwa. She was a school teacher at Lilihua. And later on she transferred to the Kaala Elementary School. She eventually retired from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's deceased now, but Dr. Wang's father is still living. He is about 80, about 2 or 3 younger than he is.
Dr. Wang's father is still surviving.
Because Dr. Wang is only in his middle 40s, close to 50.
Uh-huh. Funny thing, I remember going to a Dr. Wang when...
No. He was still... He's in his only middle 50s now, so he has been practicing only about... He came here in 1977, I think.
Because his father and I went to KCI.
So you weren't here at that time.
So his father and you went to KCI.
Yeah. So then when I heard that he was, so I knew him as a baby. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he was practicing at the East Coast, I asked him, come over and work with me. Be my partner. If you like it, then he's my partner. So he came over. Mm-hmm. So he tried with me all the time. Good. So I just took him as my own, not just like my own son.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how many children do you have?
How many we got? Seven?
How many what?
Children do you have?
We have 2 boys, Daddy.
No, we have 2 boys, but I thought you said, how many in my family? Seven.
We have 2 boys.
Yeah, 2
and
boys.
One is living in Mililani, and one is in Honolulu.
And one is a doctor, too, isn't
No, no, no. They both decided not to become doctors. Although they are associated in the health profession, though.
Okay. Are they married?
Both married with children.
Did they marry Koreans?
No, they're non-Korean.
They're non-Koreans. Dr. Wee, can I ask you what you think is very, very important in life as a medical doctor from your point of view? If you could just tell me what is very important to you about life in general.
I don't know. In life in general, now as I said, I haven't practiced medicine. But I don't know, just life in what money is.
I don't think you've given it much thought.
Oh, okay.
That is I did, that is what I, in practice of medicine, I did what I want others to do to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and as I said, I enjoyed practice of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to take another trade when I was young, I could take up medicine.
You would never have regretted it.
No, uh-huh.
Well, as an individual who happened to have gone many, many times into your office and sat and waited my turn, And also, because you have delivered one of my children, I would like to thank you very, very much for the great association, even if it's distant and we come in between times. I would like to extend to you my deepest appreciation and your many, many kindnesses that you have given to our family in time of need. I can remember it, actually, when on Pearl Harbor, we were attacked on Pearl Harbor Day. I guess all the Korean families must have telephoned you. Your telephone must have rung off the hook because you
that
were
was
one
on
of those
Sunday.
On a Sunday. Uh-huh. My mother called you. My mother wanted to know what was going on. She couldn't get any information. So she called you and you told her what was going on, what for us to boil our water. You were very kind. As long as I remember you, you were very, very kind. And when my father was in the hospital, when he had a stroke, you also took care of my father. And I want you to know that it's deeply appreciated because I knew you gave him special care.
Well, you know, the thing is, you remember all those things, but I don't know, somehow or another, I don't remember.
You don't remember all those things.
Sometimes.
You talk to her, Miriam.
I talk to her, she has to tell me. Yeah. Even now, sometimes something happened. I cannot remember.
I
so
understand.
She tells me like this.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But it's just a privilege to be here and to see you again.
Well,
and I wanted you to know that.
It's a privilege to see you and because when she mentioned about you, I said, gee, I wish when I see her, that is, I can at least know who she
I'm
is.
I'm Ivy's sister. Mm-hmm. Now you know who? Ivy-chan?
Oh, Ivy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Ivy's sister.
Yeah.
I understand.
Forgetful, that is mm-hmm. one of the things, even now, on her own, sometimes she's do something. I said, what did you do this and that? I cannot remember.
I understand.
Yeah.
This will conclude the interview with Dr. Timothy Insanwi.